Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. The hat out in front tells you. Great sponsors all around us, including our friends at Taharka. We're going to be doing something really special this holiday, delivering Taharka to you. This is a Baltimore company serving up social change and some unbelievable eggnog ice cream as well as some peppermint bark. They're telling me about some sweet potato thing they're wrangling up, which sounds like it's right up my alley, as well as the pumpkin cheesecake and the pumpkin latte that I had this month. Feeling very seasonal right now. You can order Taharka, $15.70 off. I'm going to be telling you about it on Black Friday and throughout the holidays. Deliver joy and happiness. Deliver ice cream. Don Moeller is very upset that he does not have a State Fair shirt like I have, but I picked this up. This is the kids extra large. It kind of almost fits a little bit. It's a little short on me, Don, but they did have an XL up there for you, so I'll send you over here to Evan Brown. El Guapo now open across the street. My wife and I grabbed a porchetta, and we grabbed a sandwich. She had the chicken salad. We went out for a nice stroll down at Centennial Lake. Shout out Calvin Ball. And also our friends across the street at the Franco's are coming aboard with us. We're getting some pizza over there and some meatballs. I got a bookmaker the other day. Catonsville Alive with the 818, the 21228 as well. And our friends at Fadley's are shipping crab cakes all over the world. One click away at BaltimorePositive.com. Talking about making people happy. The ice cream's local. You have to be home to receive the ice cream. Crab cakes, just ship them. Trust me, they'll be happy. Get some Fadley's crab cakes in a box delivered to your door. Don, tell them something. This is going to be one of the great segments here because this is sports and community and awesomeness and taking something awful and turning it into something positive. It's about a guy that's been a friend of mine for, I guess, O.J. Bergantz walked into my studio in 1993, I guess, two or three. So that's how long I've been knowing O.J. Bergantz. Don, you booked this one, and I know it's near and dear to your heart and your family as well.
Well, it is, and I'm delighted to welcome from the Bergantz Brigade, Stephanie Shaw. It is special to me. I am someone like so many thousands across the country. I lost a cousin to this awful disease, and it just so many families have been ravaged by it. I have friends that have suffered from this awful disease. So almost every family you know ends up being touched by it. Nestor, I guess, as we welcome Stephanie, what I would like to do is sit back and have the two of you just talk a little bit to folks about OJ and his commitment and his strength and courage, because I've met him, but I don't know him. The two of you know him in a very different way. And I think our audience would really like to hear both of you who know him just talk a little bit about OJ.
Well, I want to hear from Stephanie first, because they're always doing good stuff over there. And there have been directors, and Chandra's been involved for, I mean, everybody, the Ravens have been involved. I mean, I see OJ all over town. Anytime I go out somewhere, he just shows up and I say hello. My wife and I say hello, and he talks to us and we talk to him, and we're always, I just so moved by his strength. But more than that, the people around him that support this, the Bergantz Brigade and the foundation, you guys are at this 365 turning something bad into something very good. And for all of you who work at this, we all find OJ in different ways. I found it honest. I was a dude on a radio, and Jim Spiros was trying to sell football tickets back in 93, right?
Absolutely. You know, OJ and Shanda, they're really the cornerstone of this organization, and it's really about their legacy and what they wanted for the ALS community. And, you know, I find it so powerful. I, on my first day, was told a story that for me is the origin story of the foundation. And it's almost because it's in complete conflict with what you know of OJ typically, which is a pillar of strength and an inspiration and a person who you look to as, wow, this man wakes up every single day to this day, 13 years later, living with this horrifying disease and goes to work and has the best sense of humor and is quick and is hilarious, and yet had this really human moment with his beloved wife, who they have the most incredible relationship I've ever seen. And they breezed past this story as though it were just their everyday. And it's like, for me, it's the origin. It's the reason the foundation exists. And it's sort of a quick summary is that OJ got this diagnosis and they went through what many people go through, what all of the families we talk to go through, which is devastation and confusion and what is this? And it's the last answer typically on a really long line of doctor's appointments and diagnosis. And then you're strapped with 2 to 5 years. You're strapped with $200,000 to $250,000 out of pocket a year. And they did what everybody else did. They fell on the floor in their kitchen and they sobbed together. They had grief. They went through all of those moments that everyone goes through. And then through their faith, they looked at each other, they reconciled what they needed to reconcile, and they said, we're going to be fine. But what about everybody else? What about the families who don't have means? What about people who don't have resources? What are they doing on their kitchen floor? What are they thinking about? How is this impacting them? And to me, that's the most powerful part of what this foundation is, who we serve, what we do, is all goes back to that. It all goes back to that moment of strength. Strength in vulnerability, strength in recognizing that, yes, a cure is the absolute pinnacle. Everyone wants a cure, but in the meantime, there are 30,000 families living with ALS, and it's the people who live with ALS, our pals. It's the caregivers of those who live with ALS. We call them our CALs. 95% of those people in our community are the pal's spouse, children. I mean, this is a wide ripple effect.
I had a privilege
story to start with.
Yeah, but I had a privilege in my life of knowing a guy named Frank Vanek. Don, yeah. You knew Frank.
Oh, very well.
Yeah, tough for me to talk about Frank, but Frank had MS, and you know, we watched it, you know, over 25 years. OJ is just, he and Frank were kindred spirits, and somewhere I think they met. I think there's a picture of the two of them together when I took Frank out. We lost Frank. But in OJ, I would walk down the hallway, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, in those years, the Flacco years, right? The good years, the years where you know, 7-4 and it's week 11 and I'm going out and you had to walk in the old building. They've since remodeled it. It's COVIDed up and I'll probably never see the ceiling of that building again. But OJ's office was in the main hallway at the main door on the way to the cafeteria, on the way to the racquetball, on the way to the gym, on the way to the meeting rooms. It was in the middle of everything and the media had to walk by it. So you had to walk by OJ's office. And I was kind of always struck by, like, the media is it's a little bit of a cattle call. You know, there's 30 or 40 of us. They're like, it's time. Coach is ready. Whoop, let's go. You know, so we all get down the hallway. And, you know, cameras and scribes and, you know, people I like, people I don't like, people who like each other. People are talking. What happened to the game last night? How's life? And you walk along this way, and there would always be two or three of us who knew OJ before the incident, before all of this back in the day, that would stop in and say hello. But he would always yell at me. He knew the media was coming. He'd have his little computer saying something funny. I'd come in. Next thing you know, I'd wind up late for the press conference because I'd wind up talking to him. But when they won the Super Bowl in 13, I wrote a chapter 5 of my book, about OJ, because it was like he was the 54th member of that team in that way. And I think anyone that was around the team knows that. But more than that, Grey Cup, I was in Vancouver when he played on the team, and Regina when they won, and then in the Super Bowl in Tampa that he won. I mean, he's so aligned with Baltimore football and the story of Baltimore football that for him to be stricken with this and give back in the way he has, I don't know that there'll ever be the Mo Gabba story right up there. Incredible, you know, for all that was done with the media and the teams and my competitors that got behind him and his family. But OJ's story to me is as eternal a Baltimore positive story as there's ever been.
I agree. It's amazing to see how people, players, coaches, front office staff, strangers, patients living with ALS, caregivers, react to both OJ and Shanda. They really are the lifeblood, and that their legacy, their living legacy, is so powerful. And it really it allows me as the director of the foundation to have a really clear vision for how to craft programs that are going to be impactful and how to prioritize the needs of the people, because they're so clear. They're so clear. And the people that are around both OJ and Shanda, I don't know that I've ever heard people speak about others the way that people speak about them. And it's reflected. It's reflected in our pals, our cals, you know, the other families that support the E-team, Val's pals, our other board members. You know, everyone comes to the table with a really hopeful tone.
That's Juice, by the way. Where is he? What's he doing? I mean, I haven't seen him lately. I haven't seen anybody. I haven't seen Moeller. We haven't even get together at State Fair. But yeah. I'm so worried about people that are compromised. Obviously, I'm not going to see OJ anytime soon, but is he Zooming with – what's going on with OJ? Where's OJ today?
He's home with Shanda. They're, you know, enjoying their time.
Why is he not Zooming with me?
Well, I don't know. Call him.
Now, see, if he was in the room, I'd say, what do I smell? What's wrong? You don't like me anymore? You know, so tell Juice that I'm looking for him, okay? Make sure you
– I will. You give him a shout. I'm sure he'll be delighted. You know his smile.
What are you guys working on? Because, like, I think of you as running through the city and throwing hootenannies and throwing parties. And I know you do so many things behind the scenes that once the party's over and the drinking and the eating stops and the cake's cut and all that stuff, you guys are out taking the goods of that back to people and serving them and helping them through this incredible challenge. But the events were sort of omnipresent, right? I mean, like, this might be the 50th Brigance Brigade piece I've done on the air, because four or five times a year, there's always something going on and has been for 20 years now.
Yeah, we, you know, we have a couple of added challenges. We serve a population that's incredibly vulnerable to COVID. We can't in good conscience advocate that anyone should be getting together and you know, that. It's funny because this pandemic has really, I hear people complain, I hear people say like, oh, I can't believe I'm stuck in my house. I can't believe I have to worry about going to the grocery store or having someone come over or hugging someone. And wow, is that what someone who lives with ALS every single day deals with? This is not news. This is not a new situation for those people. And you know, maybe it can create a little bit of empathy, a little bit of understanding for this community who is incredibly vulnerable. We are innovating. We've been sort of gutted like every other business. And, you know, I had a great mentor who told me you can't have mission without margin, and without having events and without having a public facing opportunity, it's really hard to make money. And we help people by making money. We give away financial grants to patients and families who need them through our grants program, for care in their home, for equipment that's not covered by insurance, for home accessibility needs. We have been beta testing programs that are really based around the inspiration that Shanda provides, which is that often in this journey, people are focused very much on the person living with ALS. And, you know, we wanna make a prime place for caregivers to create community, to be supported, to prioritize self-care, to, you know, take 5 minutes and meditate. We have a caregiver club that we've been doing over Zoom. So we're doing everything we can here to continue to cultivate a community of people who, you know, care for those who are living with ALS, who are living with ALS, and anyone who's willing to have affinity for those who are. If you're inspired by OJ, if you know someone, you know, I think Don said it earlier, like the you all of a sudden you say ALS and someone goes, oh, I know someone who, or my grandfather, my cousin, my best friend's dad. And, you know, the average age is 55 for diagnosis. These are young people. We have a grant recipient that we work with who's 35, and we were able to give his family a grant through our PALS grant program for in-home care for his wife, who just had twins. So, you know, these are really impactful programs. These are, you know, we always have an appetite to do more. There's always a finite resource. We are a small foundation, and we are small but mighty, and we want to do more. We want to help more. We want to create more programs, give away more money, And yeah, it's tough not to be able to be out in the community doing that. But I draw a lot of inspiration for the innovation from these people who live this way every day. A pandemic is like just another day. Here we are. We're still home, you know?
Well, Stephanie, I can imagine as folks now are listening, driving around, listening in their cars, or sitting at home at their computers, they're thinking, boy, this really is a great cause. And in the midst of all the darkness and COVID and everything that is 2020, they now say, look, I want to get involved, and it might be monetarily, it might be to be a caregiver. How do folks get involved and find out more? Give us the real simple breakdown about how folks can say, you know what, it's time. I'm going to do something for the Brigance Brigade. I'm going to do something to help families dealing with this.
I hope so. From your mouth, right? You know, our website is always the most up to date. Our social media is really important. You know, obviously we're in a time where people are strapped and this is really tough, and you know, unemployment is high and politics are interesting, and you know, no one really knows what's coming down the pipeline. I always say my email is always open. You know, we just started an annual giving program. If you can give, please do. Find the things that matter to you. And give. We can only create programs when we know what money is coming in. And frankly, it's the most important. But
Stephanie, I just pulled the page up. Virtual race registration to corporate event sponsorship, making a personal gift one time. Perfect. Join the Individual Donor Society. That's the Champion Circle. All the information. I want to make sure everybody knows is BriganceBrigade.org. Go ahead, Stephanie. I just want to make sure everybody can see it.
Thank you. Appreciate the plug. Beautiful. We have everything. Individual giving, $5, $500, $5 million. I'll take it all. It's great. Any bit counts. You know, you can also help going to our social media pages, liking the pages, interacting with our posts, helping us get that, helping get that engagement up so that more people see it. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff on social media, and the more engagement we get, the better. You know, volunteer opportunities right now are few and far between. Again, it's a vulnerable population. But I would highly encourage, you know, we have our caregiver club that has started back up. And there's so many universal truths in caregiving, the kinds of people. So yes, of course, it's centered around people who are caregivers of those with ALS. But are you a caregiver of someone with cancer? Are you a caregiver? Are you just looking for
yes,
a community?
Come twice.
Be a part of it. Yeah. Come be a part of this community. You know, it's like I said, inspired by Shanda and her hope and her joy and the happiness. And yeah, we talk about tough stuff, but we journal together and we do some like art therapy and we do yoga and we do meditation. And it's just a really great place to be able to share information and say, this was really hard for me today. Has anyone been through this?
Stephanie Shaw is here. She's the executive director of all things Juice in the OJ Brigance Brigade. And you can find them out on the internet. I just pulled the site up. What's the next thing that's going to happen in the next couple of months for your foundation as the year turns? Obviously, it's Ravens season. We're all into that. We're all hoping, you know, that we could play these games and get through this. And the pandemic's going crazy. But for the thing you think you're going to be doing in the next 90 days, we're all thinking we're going to be doing something, right?
We hope, yeah. I am working with a lot of our amazing partners. We just launched, we had Shanda guest author with Augie's Quest, a blog about caregiving. We launched our caregiver club again. We are hoping to do a lot more programming around caregivers in the future. I am cautiously optimistic with everything going on. Obviously, COVID is such a big unknown. But, you know,
I was nauseously optimistic last week. People thought that was good.
Perfect.
Too. I'm that too. Yes.
That's perfect. Yeah. We went virtual this year, like many other organizations. We did a virtual 5K sort of party. We partnered with DJ Kopeck, who you probably know. And he did an online Facebook fundraiser for us, which was incredible. And his team is incredible. And we're looking at working with his team again, to hopefully do some sort of hybrid event in the late spring, early summer, to keep the tradition alive of our signature events and our 5.7K. Obviously, the 5.7 is in honor of OJ's number. We love that distance. We think it's a great one. But we'd love to be able to safely have people come out when it's appropriate, and then have other people do it virtually and really do an integrated opportunity that's fun and engaging, that will help us raise a lot of money. This is a devastating disease, and even the people who have the means, I mean, to think about how widely misunderstood ALS is, there's so few things covered because it manifests differently in everyone. The timeline is different for everyone. People experience similar symptoms, but not the same and not the same order. And so, you know, there's a lot of things like equipment and accessibility that aren't covered.
Well, then there's the mystery of the disease itself and a cure, right?
Yes.
And there, you know, that lies underneath of all of this, that 10, 20, 30 years from now, we won't have this anymore. So, I tip my cap, my Baltimore Positive cap to you. Don, are you any more questions or are you done with Steph today? She's got work to do.
I have so many, yes, she does, important work. I have so many memories and thoughts as we chat. I was thinking, I know you all work closely with the ALS Association as well. And, you know, I guess it's 2 or 3 years ago now. I think of my cousin who was a young, you said early 50s, successful cardiologist in Philadelphia, stricken with this disease. It was near the end for him, my cousin Emil. And so much so that his family did not think that he would be able or should be able to make the journey to Baltimore for that walk. But he was adamant, and which I think is so typical of OJ and all those who are fighting this disease. He said, oh, no. He said, I've got a large extended family that will be participating in this walk to fight this disease. I will be there. And I will never remember the moment when he sort of walks out. We were in a restaurant afterward, and he walks out and he sees the 70 or 80 family members there wearing the E-team shirts in his honor, and he takes both of his hands, which he could hardly move, and somehow gets them above his head to incredible applause and affection. And then a few days later, after he returns to Philadelphia, passes away. That was his last courageous act. So I would just say to anyone who is listening that there are many, many charities that you can become involved in. But think about your family. Think about your loved ones. Brigance Brigade, ALS Association, you pick it. They're doing great work. They're helping families. Get involved with your time. Get involved with your money. But make a difference. And Stephanie, just on behalf of my family, I thank you.
I have loved. Tom, your cousin Tom, is on our board and was one of the first board members that I met with. And he was such, we had lunch down in Baltimore City. And
back when you could have lunch.
Yeah, back when we could have lunch and see each other. But, you know, when he shared Emil's story with me, I mean, it was my second day on the job. And I immediately knew that I was in for a ride. The ALS does not care who you are. This was a cardiologist. This is a doctor. We have NASA scientists. We have moms and dads. We have, it doesn't matter. There's no discrimination with ALS.
Right.
And you're right. There is no cure. You don't know what's coming down the pipeline. And the more people I meet, the more families I get to know, it is the strength and compassion and sort of beauty in everyone's individual journey makes me believe in humanity more than anything. So,
Stephanie, we're gonna send some love out to the Juice. Tell everybody we said hello. I'm sorry I don't see him in the hallways anymore, but tell him, you know, I'll Zoom with him anytime. Tell him he wants to come on. We'll make a Thursday Zoom with the Juice. And my wife has to be a part of that. So you have to do it during lunch hour. But we appreciate you. We hope to see you and everyone else out there safely and soon. Wash up, wear a mask, and tell Juice we'll see him soon. Okay.
Please do. Thank you so much.
BriganceBrigade.org.
Thank you.
There you go. BriganceBrigade.org. Stephanie Shaw. She is the executive director, along with former Baltimore County executive Don Moeller. Storytelling, hanging out with Senators Cardin and Van Hollen this week, and telling great Baltimore positive stories. We got a lot ahead now that we've merged WNST.net with the mothership here at BaltimorePositive.com.